Empower Radio presents Welcome to Blissville with the Bliss Lady, Terry Williams. Get ready to connect with inspiring, motivating, enlightening, and joyful guests who are following their bliss. Now, here's your host, Terry Williams.
Hey, welcome, 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 everybody. You know, people are always asking me, what's my secret? You know, how do I stay so tuned into that happy place? Well, you know, it takes a lot of practice. And, you know, some of the things that I do are laughter yoga and meditation and aromatherapy and all kinds of really cool stuff. Well, my guest today considers himself a jollytologist. I mean, don't you just love that? Alan Klein has written a book called The Art of Living Joyfully, How to Be Happy Every Day of the Year. He's got 13 other books, too, I think, that are really going to help add a lot of joy to your life. So, Alan, welcome to Blissville.
Thank you, and it's a blissful day, isn't it?
It sure is. So we have a three-hour time difference, and I am so grateful that you are here joining us, and hopefully it's a sunny place, and you're ready to take on the day with us.
I certainly am, and I always start my day with a little song, which I started this morning. And it helps lift me up and realize, you know, I woke up this morning. that's a really good thing. And, you know, I truly believe it's about intention. And the first thing you can do in the morning is think of what is your intention for the day and try to keep that uplifting spirit throughout the day.
And what's the song? Or is it a different song every day?
No, it's the same song. It's a very simple song. It's thank you for this day, Lord. Thank you for this day. Thank you for this day, Lord. Thank you for this day. Thank you for this day, Lord. Thank you for this day. Thank you for this day, Lord. Thank you for this day.
That's awesome. I'm going to start singing that myself, if that's okay with you.
Yeah, I got it from somewhere else, so sure. And by the way, you're the Bliss Lady, and you know, I'm looking on my wall here in my office, and I didn't realize till about 10 minutes ago when I was getting ready for your show that I have one of the definitions of bliss. And I don't know if you know this, but one of the definitions is to bring laughter into something serious.
I love that.
Did you know that?
Quote of the day. No, I have not heard that. Okay, so is that one of the quotes in your book?
It is not. I just happened to come across it somewhere, and I thought, what a great thing to remember, because I don't know, I don't think they use that word a lot. And then when I saw to bring laughter into something serious, I thought, I need to use that word more. And then you asked me to be on the show.
Oh, you know, that I have goosebumps all the way down to my toes. It's funny. Okay, so not a funny subject, but, you know, I'm the youngest of six. And when we get together, particularly at funerals, which, you know, is not necessarily a happy occasion for many, we laugh a lot. And, you know, for me, laughter is my nervous mechanism. Mm-hmm. You know, when I get nervous or when I get really down and I'm in a serious situation, I laugh. So I absolutely love that quote.
Well, you know, I, as you said, I have a number of books. The first one, The Healing Power of Humor. The second one is Courage to Laugh, which is about using humor in death and dying in serious situations. Mm-hmm. But a more recent one is Learning to Laugh When You Feel Like Crying. Mm-hmm. And it has, yes, loss is serious, but I think we can't stay in that loss or two people are really lost, the person that's deceased and the person that's still living. And so that book shows people how to go from loss to laughter in five steps, which is losing, learning. It's early in the morning. Losing, learning, living, and there's one more, and then we get to laughter.
Well, you know, it's really a key ingredient to living a joyful life. I mean, so they call me the bliss lady, but I can equally be the pissed lady, okay? I get down in the dumps, you know, just like everybody else. And when I feel like I'm spiraling, the first thing I do is find something joyful. Find something that can make me laugh. And,
And that's why I write the uplifting, motivational, inspirational quote books like The Art of Living Joyfully, because it has 500 or so quotations about how to live more joyfully. And one of the ways, you know, people say, well, how can I, it's not the kind of book I can sit down and read cover to cover. I said, one of the things you can do is just open the book up, which I'm going to do right now, and see what it says for that day. And so I just did that. And it's funny, I got on the left side, this is very funny, I think, on the left side, there's a blank page. So today's a blank page. And the next page has the heading of what that category is and what the quotes will be about in the next section. And it's called New Day.
Oh, my gosh.
And again, we were just talking about that. And there I opened the book, and there it is. But let me just flip a little, open it again, and get a quote and see. Okay, here we go. This one is by, I don't know this person, Christiane Kolang. And this is under the section about lightening up. And it says, we have a tendency to obscure the forest of simple joys with the trees of problems. Mm. Wow. I love that.
Yeah, and it's so true. When we get stuck in that place of our deep, dark moment, you know, that's what we see. And we don't see the simple joys in our lives, the small things that can really light you up.
Right. And it's there every single day. And, you know, I wrote The Healing Power of Humor and other books that are what at one time I was calling real books, and that my quotation books were not real books. But that was just in my head, because then I start getting letters of how people found a quote in one of my books and it totally changed their life. Mm-hmm. And one woman, for instance, this is so powerful. I couldn't believe that I got this letter from this woman, all handwritten. She said when she was a teenager, she was raped twice and she never told anyone for 55 years.
Oh, my gosh.
Can you imagine that? And then she found this quote from Dale Carnegie in The Art of Living Joyfully, or one of the other books. And this was the quote. She said, when we hate our enemies, we're giving them power over us, power over our sleep, our appetites, our blood pressure, our health, and our happiness. Our enemies would dance with joy if only they knew how they were worrying us and getting even with us. Our hate is not hurting them, but our hate is turning our days and nights into hellish turmoil. Mm. She said, I kind of took that quote to heart. I've taken back my power, and I have finally, after 55 years, gotten on with my life.
And it's so true. It's so, so true, Alan. Okay, so I'm coming out here. I don't even know if I've talked about this very much on my show, but I was date raped, and I did not talk about it for 6 years. I didn't even tell my first husband you know, and it happened during the time that he and I were dating. So I can really feel that. And I know that when you allow that to be the focus of your life, it can really destroy your life, because it is everything that you do. And in my life today and since then, and that was 20 some years ago, I really practice forgiving and letting that go, surrounding people in love, and stepping into letting that control go. And that happens for me with humor and surrounding myself and my life with the things that bring me the most joy, because it's my choice.
Right. Yeah. Well, everything's our choice. I mean, Viktor Frankl talks about in a concentration camp, finding some humor every single day. And he credits it in part with his survival, you know, and you also said something that I think if people want to have a more joyful day, not only finding the laughter, but just what you said, forgiveness, because you can't have a joyful day if you're carrying around this grudge all day. It's like impossible. There's two different things. So you got to let go, got to forgive, and got to move on with your life.
Yeah, including forgiving yourself, because, you know, if we grew up with religion in our lives, or, you know, even without religion in our lives, we're geared to think that so many things that we do are, you know, bad or sinful, and they can really shape the way we're going to move forward in life. Mm-hmm. And we have to forgive ourselves for those things that we did. Most of the time, we were doing what we knew and what we thought, and we have to just allow ourselves to be and feel that place of love and know that, you know, we're human.
Right. And you said something at the very beginning of the show that kind of triggered a thought, which I just went back to. And that is, I just saw some research that said that we are prone to the negative, and that it goes way, way, way back to caveman time, when everything was dangerous around us. You know, it might be a rock slide, an animal might attack us, you know, the weather, you know, whatever it was, we were always trying to protect ourselves and looking for all the kind of negative stuff. And so we need to, since that's still in us, we need to kind of focus more on the positive. We need to kind of counteract that more than ever, because it is the negatives ingrained with us. So, and one of the things is uplifting quotes, or as you say, looking for the funny, looking for the laughter. Because it's always, well, Terry, let me give you one example. I was in a laundromat, and it said, when the machine stops, remove all your clothing. Which I did.
That's a good one. You know, that's one that should be on Jay Leno or something.
Right. But my point is, there, and I think you said this too, there is humor all around. There's things to laugh about all the time, but we don't see it when we get stressed out or when we're not forgiving. So one of the things is to forgive to have a more joyful day. And the other, very simple, not particularly funny, but gratitude, grateful for what you have instead of being unhappy with what you don't have. So powerful.
It is. And, you know, when I teach workshops, I tell people that I've been there. You know what I mean? I've been in deep despair. I've lost everything. I had a house fire 12 years ago and I lost everything. And what I focus on, again, like you just said, what I do have. You know, I wake up every day with gratitude. I'm incorporating that song into my life now. I swear it's awesome. But I do. I wake up. I'm thankful that I have a breath. I mean, we can find something.
Right. There's always something to be thankful for. And, you know, you bring up something for me that I'd like to share with your listeners is that, you know, people, oh, you're the jollytologist, you know, you're always happy, you know, this, you must have been born that way, you know. And I came to humor out of the, my wife had a terminal illness and passed away when she was 34.
Wow.
And she had a great sense of humor. And that's after she died. I mean, it was a very difficult time. We had a 10-year-old daughter at the time. But I realized that my wife's great sense of humor helped her and me get through those 3 years that we knew she had a terminal illness.
Mm-hmm.
And give you one funny example. She was in the hospital with a copy of Playgirl magazine with a male nude centerfold. And she says, Alan, I really like this hunky man this month. Can you put it on the bed over there? And I, by the bed over there. And I said, Alan, this is a hospital. With a whiskey for that. And she said, well, maybe you're right. She said, why don't you get a leaf from the plant on the counter there and put it on, you know, that part. And Terry, I did that, and things were fine for the first day, fine for the second, but the third day, the leaves started shriveling up. And, you know, it was a serious time, but we came home from the hospital, and we would just mention a leaf or look at a leaf, and we would start to laugh. And I realized, looking back, it wasn't a lot of laughter. It was, what, 5 or 10 seconds. But it helped us rise above the situation, gave us a reprieve, gave us the perspective that humor always gives people, no matter what the situation. And so that's when I went back to school to learn about therapeutic humor and got a master's degree in it.
That's awesome. You know, so is that when you became the gelotologist?
It did. I'm actually a gelotologist. It's a Greek word, G-E-L-O-S, and it means laughter. And so ology is the study of. So I was really a gelotologist.
A gelotologist.
But people, you know, thought I made wiggly desserts or something. So I changed it to gelotologist. And the amazing thing to me, I belong to the National Speakers Association. And since I became a gelotologist, was way back in the late 80s, there's now a joyologist, a happyologist, an enthusiologist. You know, it just goes on and on and on.
Yeah, I've seen them everywhere. But to be honest, I had not seen gelotologist till I saw your work.
Oh, okay. That's good.
And I love it.
So you can be the blissologist.
I'm writing that down. That's, you're absolutely right.
I won't charge you for that at all.
But when my book comes out, I'll make sure I give you credit.
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
The study of
I did have to copyright it because some other people were starting to use it. So if you're going to use it, make sure you copyright it.
Yeah, I've put that little TM next to it. Okay, so in the book, you have over 500 quotes. And, you know, when I think about it, why couldn't we simply open to a page for a spark? You know, like, okay, so I open to your page and I see get into the habit, which is just what we were talking about. Get into the habit of looking for the silver lining of the cloud. And when you have found it, continue to look at it rather than at the laden gray in the middle. It will help you over hard places, by A.A. Willits. And that's exactly what was going on in your life with what was happening with your wife. And
I didn't put it all together at that time. It came later. And so sometimes, you know, we see things in our life and we go, this is awful, this is tragic. You know, I ask, why was this happening to me? She was so young. We have a daughter, you know. People ask those kind of, you know, why did I lose my job? You know, things like that. And we don't see the big picture.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't, I truly believe there's a higher power, and we don't see that, you know, what the plans are for us. But maybe down the road, you know, I certainly didn't want my wife to die at such an early age, but now, you know, my books are translated into 9 languages, there are over 500,000 copies, so it's influencing people all over the world. out of that one incident that at the time I thought was a tragedy in my life.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Well, and in your workshops now, you use humor to help people cope. Use humor to give a new perspective.
Yeah, and I go through the letters every workshop, whether it's 1 hour or 6 hours, the letters L-A-U-G-H. And very quickly, because they know we don't have a lot of time, L is let go. We can't find any laughter in our life if we're not letting go of some of the things we're carrying around. Mm-hmm. And one of the quick ways to have people do that is everybody gets a balloon and they blow their stress, whatever that is, in the balloon, and then we all let go of that balloon. And Terry, when you see 500 or 1,000 balloons flying around the room...
Oh, my gosh. I bet people can't help but laugh to that.
Of course. Yeah. And then people get hit by other people's stress.
Yeah.
Or their own balloon comes back to them. Their own stress comes
incoming.
Right. So, you know, that's one of the things. And then A is, we just talked about it, attitude, that we have a choice and it's our attitude that makes a difference. The U, I kind of cheated a little bit and how to use U is for Y-O-U, that whoever you are, you're the only one that can change your attitude and let go.
Yeah.
And then the G is go do it. And I, in my Healing Power of Humor books, I have 14 techniques of how people can do it, have some props around. I always carry a red nose around, bubbles around, photos of my daughter when she was a teenager that lift me up, or a young child, things like that, things to remind you to lighten up.
Mm-hmm.
And then the H is humor, eyes and ears, to look and listen, because as in that laundromat story I told you, that sign, look and listen, there is humor all around.
There sure is. You know, are you sure you're not a laughter yoga specialist too?
Well, I've taken Steve Wilson's, I am a certified laugh leader.
And that's awesome. And one of the things I like to tell people is just start laughing, you know. And it's funny, my mom is 82, and she is really my, she would be my jollytologist, because tries to find the bright side in everything.
My mom passed away when she was 95, and like your mom, she was my she was mother jollytologist. And she was at a doctor's office one day, and it was 6 o'clock at night, and they were closing the office, and her van that takes her home didn't show up. So the woman took her downstairs to the pizza place and said, "I'll call the van, I'll make sure they're coming, I'll buy you a Coke and just wait here." The van never showed up still. So my mom went up to the counter and asked the guy, "Do you deliver?" And he said, "Of course, lady, we deliver. We're a pizza place." She said, "Great. I want a pepperoni pizza and I want to go with it."
Oh, my God. That is quick thinking.
Yeah. So she's the one in my life that showed me how to lighten up. And my wife did, too.
Well, I noted that you dedicated the art of living joyfully to her. To your mother.
Okay. I dedicate my book to different people. Oh, right. My mom. No, this is actually my mother-in-law, Terry.
Oh, that was your mother-in-law.
I was talking about my mom at the pizza place, but to my mother-in-law.
You dedicated it to your mother-in-law. I remember now.
Yeah. And the reason for that is she also had she was always very positive, not as funny as my mom, but really positive. Mm-hmm. And she lived to 50 days away from being 100 years old.
Oh, my gosh. Wow.
So certainly, she was always joyful, and I dedicated that book to her. My mom is dedicated in some other book. I don't remember which one, but yeah.
That's awesome. Well, you know, You have another book called The Change Your Life Quote Book. And you mentioned earlier that you didn't necessarily consider them books. And I think of it as, how can they not be? You know, anything that has the power to uplift you or change the way that you look at life, that you look at yourself.
Right, right.
That's a pretty powerful book.
Yeah, well, it is. Actually, that book, the intro is by Jack Canfield, who part of the Chicken Soup series.
Mm-hmm.
He wrote the foreword to that book. But yes, I was just in this space because Random House, the books used to be published by Random House. Now they're Viva Editions. But I had a contract for writing three books. And, you know, if there are 500 quotes in each of those books, each of those books I probably had 1,200 quotes for each book and had to eliminate a lot. So
wow.
It was a lot of research, a lot of thinking how to put them together in a meaningful way. And so I was thinking, why are you doing this? You know, and then I start getting these incredible letters, as I told you before. And I realized these are really helping people. And just one quote can change someone's life.
Yeah, it really can. Well, and in The Art of Living Joyfully, you kind of break it down alphabetically, quotes that are per topic. And so even if somebody doesn't want to open it up, they can look at the topic. In the beginning of the book, you have the topic. So wherever you are in your life, you can relate or find something that might speak to you.
Right, like if they want something about family or friendship or about nature or peace or spirituality or wealth or pets or some of those categories that help them become more joyful in those subjects.
And creativity, that was one of the things, like I've been focusing lately on creativity, and I found some really great quotes on focusing on, you know, being infinitely creative and tuning into the universe. Again, listeners, we're speaking with Alan Klein, our resident jollytologist. And Alan has not written just one, but was it 15 books, Alan?
Actually, it's 18.
Wow.
And I'm working on another one right now.
And I can't wait to get that one. So he's written 18 books. He's also a world-renowned speaker. And you can find all of his information on the Empower Radio Network at Welcome to Blissville. And, you know, his topic is how to find humor in not-so-funny stuff. I love that. Absolutely love that. Alan, you have shared such great information here, and I'm going to put you on the spot again. You know, I love for my guests to give the listener something that they can take out into the day to bring more, in this case, joy into their lives. And what would that be for you? What would you say?
Well, we already covered some, like intention when they wake up or whatever they're doing. But I think for me, it's having a reminder around. So something that will remind you to lighten up. And one of the things I have, and I'm in my office, is lots of toys and stuff. But one simple thing people can carry around or put in their car is a feather. I'm looking at one right now. And every time they look at that, remember this is a reminder to lighten up. Just a simple feather.
Yeah, you know, speaking of quotes, I think that there's a quote out there that even says something like, angels are present to remind us to lighten up.
Yes.
Not to take life so seriously. That's absolutely awesome.
Something like, angels can fly because they take themselves lightly.
Yeah, that's
something
it.
Like that. Yeah,
that's it. That's awesome. Alan is also going to be at a conference on humor that is now open to the public. You can find all of that information on his website, which will be on the Welcome to Blissville page at Empower Radio. Alan, thank you so much for being here. I feel like it's just the beginning.
Yeah, thank you, Terry. It's been delightful.
And I can't wait to read your new book. You let me know, and we're going to have you right back on here.
Terrific. It's in the writing process, so it might be a little while, but it will be out.
Thank you.
Thank you.